Texas American Ropes, Mark Antos, American Company, live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Willis Carto, the American Free Press, will be joining me a little bit after the first commercial break to discuss some of the most important issues of the day for 2 hours on this show, from basically a little after 7 o'clock this morning Central Time to a little bit after 9 o'clock Central. And Mr. Carto is making a major sacrifice to be on the show this morning because the American Free Press, of course, of which he is an integral part, has its publication today, Thursday. So he's taking out some time from a very busy publication schedule to be with us, and we certainly appreciate having him on. He'll be with us a little bit after 7 o'clock this morning, again, up through 9 o'clock this morning Central Time. Have a series of things that we could talk about in the news, up to and including Pat Buchanan's piece, which you can find in a number of places on the World Wide Web today, entitled The Dark Side of Diversity. Buchanan indicates that since the massacre of 32 students and teachers at Virginia Tech, the mainstream media have obsessed over the fact that the crazed gunman was able to buy a Glock in the state of Virginia. Little attention, according to Buchanan, has been paid to the Richmond legislators who voted to make Hokie Nation a middle American campus of 26,000 kids, a gun-free zone where only the madman had a semi-automatic. Almost no attention had been paid to the fact that Cho Seung-hui was not an American at all, but an immigrant, an alien. Had this deranged young man who secretly hated us never come over here, 32 people would be heading home from Blacksburg for summer vacation. What was Cho doing here? How did he get in? Cho is among the 864,000 Koreans here as a result of the Immigration Act of 1965, which threw the nation's doors open to the greatest invasion in history, an invasion opposed by a majority of our people. 36 million, almost all from countries whose people have never been fully assimilated in any Western country, now live in our midst. Cho was one of them. In stories about him, we learned that he had no friends, rarely spoke, and was a loner, isolated from classmates and roommates. Cho was the alien in Hokie Nation, and to vent his rage at those with whom he could not communicate, he decided to kill in cold blood dozens of us. What happened at Blacksburg cannot be divorced from what's been happening to America since the Immigration Act brought tens of millions of strangers to these shores, even as the old bonds of national community began to disintegrate and dissolve in the social revolutions of the 1960s. To intellectuals, what makes America a nation is ideas. Ideas in the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Gettysburg Address, and Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. But documents, no matter how eloquent, and words, no matter how lovely, do not a nation make. Before 1970, we were a people, a community, a country. Students would have said aloud of Cho, "Who is this guy? What's the matter with him?" Teachers would have taken action to get him help or to get him out. Since the 1960s, we have become alienated from one another, even as millions of strangers arrive every year. And as Americans no longer share the old ties of history, heritage, faith, language, tradition, culture, music, myth, or morality, how can immigrants share those ties? Many immigrants do not assimilate. Many do not wish to. They seek community in their separate subdivisions of our multicultural, multiracial, multi-ethnic, multilingual mammoth mall of a nation. And in numbers higher than our native-born, some are going berserk here. The 1993 bombers of the World Trade Center and the killers of 9/11 were all immigrants or illegals. Colin Ferguson, the Jamaican who massacred 6 and wounded 19 in an anti-white shooting spree in the Long Island Railroad, was an illegal. John Lee Malvo, the Beltway sniper, was flotsam from the Caribbean. Angel Resendez, the border-jumping rapist who killed at least 9 women, was an illegal alien. Julio Gonzalez, who burned down the Happy Land Social Club in New York, killing 87, arrived in the Mariel boat lift. Ali Hassan Abu Kama, who wounded 7, killing 1, in a rampage on the observation deck of the Empire State Building, was a Palestinian, as was Sirhan Sirhan, the assassination of Robert Kennedy. The rifleman who murdered two CIA employees at the McLean, Virginia headquarters entrance was a Pakistani. When Chai Vong, a Hmong, was told by a party of Wisconsin hunters to vacate their deer stand, he shot six to death. Peter Odighuswa, the gunman who killed the dean, a teacher and a student at the Appalachian School of Law, was a Nigerian. Hisham Hidayat, who shot up the El Al counter at LAX, killing two and wounding four, was an Egyptian immigrant. Gamil Al-Batuti, the co-pilot who yelled, "I put my faith in Allah's hands," as he crashed his plane into the Atlantic after departing JFK Airport, killing 217, was an Egyptian. Mohammad Reza Tahari Azhar, the UNC graduate who ran his SUV over nine people on Chapel Hill campus and said he was thankful for the opportunity to spread the will of Allah, was an Iranian. Juan Corona, who murdered 25 people in California to be ranked with the likes of Ted Bundy and John Wayne Gacy, was a Mexican. Where does one find such facts? On VDare.com, a website that covers the dark side of diversity, covered up by a politically correct media, which seem to believe it is socially unhealthy for us Americans to see any correlation at all between mass migrations and mass murder. In our diversity is our strength, so we are endlessly lectured. But are we really a better, safer, freer, happier, more united and caring country than we were before, against our will, when we became what Theodore Roosevelt called, quote, a polyglot boarding house for the world, unquote, as Pat Buchanan today in his article on the dark side of diversity. I want to take up some of those themes with Willis Carto when we come back. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com. at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
We're back. This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Willis Carto, the American Free Press. I trust that most of you know him. If you don't know him, a Google search will reveal a great deal about him. I can think of no other name on the American populist right that has been a more revered name, a more respected name than that of Willis Carto. This is my first opportunity to have an extended conversation with him. And I, again, wanted to express my appreciation to him for coming on RBN today, simply because today is a publication day at the American Free Press. And for those of you who have ever been involved with the publication and distribution of a mass media circulation, you know how important that publication day is. Mr. Carto, how are you, sir?
I'm very fine, Mark, and thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation to speak to you and your guests and your listeners.
Well, thank you very much for being on, sir. I was taking a look with the listeners in the first part of the program, reading something from Pat Buchanan's article today entitled "The Dark Side of Diversity."
I heard you read that, and I think that's outstanding. He really covers the bases, makes a case which just simply cannot be denied, and if we don't do something about this very quickly, it's just going to be all over.
Well, you know, Buchanan's, I agree with you, sir. I look at his reference to this Immigration Act of 1965. This is something that comes up time and again in these articles on the populist American right when it comes to trying to analyze what has happened with this immigration situation. This Immigration Act of 1965 apparently was deliberately designed to bring people into the United States in massive numbers who did not have European cultural and historical and racial backgrounds.
Yes, let's go beyond that a little bit.
Sure.
For years and years, American Coalition of Patriotic Societies and wide awake Americans who had since realized that unless they held the line with the ethnic makeup of the United States as it was, this is exactly what would result. It'd be diversity with a capital D, where there is no longer any real American feeling, where you have nothing but a bunch of squabbling minorities, each of them after their own well-being and aggrandizing themselves alone and working to get as much as they can from the federal government, and that this is what would happen. The dike finally broke. The McCarran-Walter Immigration Act is one that held this at bay for years and years. Pat McCarran, a Democrat of Nevada, and Congressman Walter, I believe it was a Republican from the East, joined together, and they had a very strong coalition, and they had the support of all sensible political minded Americans. And once that finger was taken out of the dike, the whole thing went, and we're living in the fallout right now. America has become and is becoming a nation of not a real nation at all, but just an agglomeration of many races, many cultures, many viewpoints, and a nation like this simply cannot survive over the long term.
Do you think that this whole situation is the result of a deliberate conspiracy?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. It's been a conspiracy, well, rather, as Stalin called it, the dreamers and the well-wishers and the hardcore, the liberals and a lot of church groups and fuzzy-headed intellectuals and so on and so forth have wanted to make America into a diverse nation. Unwittingly, they wanted to destroy America. Whereas, on the other hand, you've had a lot of people who were doing it deliberately, knowing exactly what they were doing and exactly what the result would be. And groups like this you'd have to list the Anti-Defamation League and the American Jewish Congress that have, from the very beginning, tried to open wide the doors of American immigration, legal and illegal as well.
Do you think there's any way of putting the genie back in the bottle on this?
That is a hard question. Of course, there's always a way, but sometimes the ways are just simply politically unacceptable. It would take very, very harsh measures that most people simply aren't willing to recognize or to accept as necessary. And with the prevailing liberal winds that are blowing, there is no way to do it.
Yes, and as I look at this whole situation, it would seem to me, just in trying to analyze or to understand what has happened, that this whole situation with the Immigration Act of 1965 and all of the floodgates that have been opened since then would seem to go hand in hand with this desire on the part of certain constituencies to destroy this country as a nation state, to destroy its culture, to destroy its history, and that all of these things would then become a prerequisite for entering the New World Order. Is that pretty much the way we should understand the total context of this?
I think you put it very well, Mark.
Yes.
I think that given the present trends, obviously extrapolating them, we are heading into literally a political breakup of the United States, based along geographical and racial lines, and I don't see there's any way to avoid that. Particularly, you look at the other side too, the economic financial side. By any measurement, the United States of America, as a going concern, is bankrupt. I mean, financially bankrupt. The debt is just impossible to continue to. We cannot service the interest cost the way that it's growing, particularly under the Bush administration. And so what does that mean for the not only the stability but actually the existence of the federal government? Of course, not only the federal government is hopelessly lost in debt, states as well, and municipalities, and private debt and corporate debt is worth far far more than the country is worth.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things, of course, that to me is most ironic about this whole thing is that when you look at what has happened in the last 6 or 7 years under a Republican president and up until recently a Republican Hill, This would seem to be of particular historical amazement that you would have so many grassroots Republicans saying that they favor streamlined government and paying as you go and so forth and so on, only to discover that in the last 6 or 7 years we have had the largest account deficits and the largest foreign trade deficits in American history. Do you find that in terms of what you're doing with populism and nationalism and the line that you put out at the American Free Press, that it's beginning to wake up a few more people that in the past have pretty much bought into Republican propaganda?
Yes, without a doubt, more and more people are catching on. You know, but the real problem is who was it that said that, 90% of the public have no idea what's going on, 8% of the public know about it but don't do anything about it, and only 2% of the public tries to do anything about it. And this is the problem. Today you have I'm laughing. I shouldn't laugh because it's a terrible tragedy, but there's so many people in this country that that just don't care, don't know about it. They can't see any further than the garden fence. They're immersed in their private and family affairs, and they just do not understand what's going on. And of course, the media certainly doesn't help at all. The media really doesn't cover the problems as they should be. So until more of the public gets agitated, gets politically aware, this situation is going to continue. If it continues too far, it's going to go over the hill. It'll be no possibility of making a comeback, and the nation is just simply going to break up.
What would you say would be the issue or issues that might finally galvanize a wider opposition to some of these globalist measures? Do you think it might be the Iraq War? Do you think it'd be the North American Union? What's your best guess?
Well, you know, just before I came on, you had you quoted a Catholic priest. What was his name?
Father John Martinez.
Father John Martinez?
I'm not sure. I think that Father Martinez lives in Oklahoma, I believe. I've had him on the show before, and then he has a product that RBN advertises in regard to a new DVD on the Iraq War.
I see. Well, I think he stated it, and I agree absolutely with him. I do think that the Bush administration is going to attack Iran. And I think it could even be this month. Bush and his, when I say Bush, I don't mean really George Bush, because I don't think he has the intelligence to think of these things. I think he is following the orders of the people that put him in, the so-called neocons. What we're talking about, actually, we're talking about a nation called Israel. George Bush will do whatever is required Israeli foreign policy desires. They wanted Iraq out of the way, and so we attacked Iraq. And of course, Syria has been neutralized. The next on the agenda is Iran, hopefully this will be the thing that will cause an eruption from the public. On the one hand, he appointed this Admiral Fallon to be the supreme commander over there. Our Navy deployed in the Persian Gulf. There, we are ready for an attack on Iran. It won't be an infantry attack, of course. We don't have enough men for that. But what I'm talking about a bombing campaign, possibly even with nuclear weapons against Iran. If that happens, that'll be the most devastating thing that could possibly happen to America.
We'll be back.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report. PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Back. This is Mark Dantos coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Willis Carto, the founder of the Barnes Review, the founder of the American Free Press, the founder of Liberty Lobby, and he has something on his website which I'd like to read to you, which maybe will dovetail with our conversation this morning about a possible war with Iran as an extension of our present war with Iraq. Reading directly from WillisCarto.net, you can find the following. Willis Allison Carto was born on July the 17th, 1926, in Fort Wayne, Indiana. After graduation from high school in 1944, he went into the Army to fight for the glorious democracy of his country, the survival of Soviet communism, a third and fourth term for Roosevelt, a chance to kill Germans by the thousands as desired by Churchill, Eisenhower, and the Zionists, part of Palestine for them as a bonus, vast riches for the bankers and war suppliers, coffin makers, and flag makers. Mr. Carto, are we to understand this present involvement with Iraq dreadfully so, apparently Iran at some point in the future as an extension of that type of foreign policy in reality?
Well, I think so. It's a tragic thing. The founding fathers were certainly must rank among the greatest assemblage of men in history. They were learned men. They were responsible men. They were men of property, and they founded a republic, not a democracy. They founded a republic. And from George Washington onward, up until Woodrow Wilson, the idea was for the United States to tend to its own business, have a model government that other nations would emulate, have peace as a policy. We were isolated by 3,000 miles of ocean from Europe, and we didn't have to get involved in the troubles of Europe, much less the troubles of African tribes or of Asian principalities. We were safe and secure in our huge country with the vast, unlimited national resources and a very productive and creative and cultured white people. And there was no reason for us to get involved as a nation. Well, of course, we did. We were tricked into what became into making the European War that began in 1914. Tricked into making that a world war, and then of course we were. Under the guidance of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Winston Churchill and the communists in this country and the Jewish element, we intervened in the second war, making that a world war, and killing at least 10 million people that didn't have to be killed. So this is where we are today. We're getting deeper and deeper. Now we're enmeshed in problems of other countries. George Bush doesn't have any idea what he's doing. He has made the United States a pariah nation among the nations. America was always respected around the world. We're no longer respected. We're reviled, castigated, laughed at, and certainly anything but respected with our ally, Israel, quote ally. We now have the policy of trying to arbitrate, trying to direct the affairs of every nations all around the world. For some reason, the people who run this country seem to have the idea that they're qualified and able to solve the problems of other countries, but not the United States.
Yes. We'll be back with Willis Carto, the American Free Press, and the Barnes Review, and Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel or Jeff Bennett help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Willis Cardo, founder of the Barnes Review and the American Free Press. He has been associated with so many populist conservative organizations over so many years that it's really hard to list all of them and to overestimate the influence that he has had in the American populist movement for these many, many decades. Before the break, Willis, we were talking a little bit about this whole issue of war as it relates to an agenda for both of the world wars and certainly an agenda behind Mr. Bush's present involvement in Iraq and potentially soon Iran that presumably have nothing to do with either a nationalistic or constitutional perspective, but seem to have everything to do with what we would call a globalist perspective, which in turn involves presumably constituencies like central bankers as major profiteers in this whole process. Do you think as more Americans begin to find out about this whole situation, and I'm thinking of some of the young men and women that are currently in the military who have been sold on this present involvement in the Middle East, utilizing nationalistic images and nationalistic symbols an attempt to appeal, as it were, to traditional American instincts as it relates to the Constitution and so forth, that as this disconnect between globalism and nationalism continues to become more obvious, that it's going to produce ongoing tension, excruciating tension, not only within our civilian population, but that the military itself might experience a great schism between those who would be willing to support this globalist agenda with the utilization of American military force. And those who say, no, this is not in the interest of our country, and this isn't constitutional. What do you think?
Well, you bring up an awful lot of questions. I could go on and on and on for that. You know, we are located here, as I sit, at 7th and Pennsylvania Southeast in Washington, D.C. And every day you can go out on the street, and you'll always see these big American guys from the Marine base at 8th Street, just a couple of blocks from where I am, running with their exercise, obviously ordered by their commander to get out and run for 3 miles or something like that. And I go past the Marine base driving quite often and see these guys, great physical specimens, you know. And they're all hot-wired for war. They think that we're protecting America, you see, by going 10,000 miles on the other side of the world and killing little brown guys. And this is what they're taught. And there's a complete disconnect between what they think and what they think is reality and what really is reality. These guys are willing to give their lives for it. And it's just a shame. You mentioned the bankers. I didn't even get around to mentioning them yet, but of course you're absolutely right. There's money here. The horrifying fact, Mark, is that today war is necessary to keep the economy going. In free enterprise or free capital, whatever you call it, there are cycles, business cycles, right? At the top of the cycle, everybody's working and everybody's got a job and money is flowing freely. What happens then? Well, of course, then there gets to be too much production. People can't buy it anymore. Factories have to close down. People are thrown out of the work, and you have what you call a recession. And then if you leave it go, people suffer. That's true. But it reaches a point where it's necessary to start manufacturing again, and people go back to work, and that is called the business cycle. There was a guy named Lord Keynes. Maybe you read something about him. I wrote something about him a couple of months ago. This Britisher who said, I got a bright idea. What we're going to do, we're going to stop this business cycle because we're going to have the government come in and spend money to stop the recession from happening. Then everybody's going to be happy. Of course, what that does, it builds up the debt. The bankers love it. The newspapers love it. And the politicians love it. And of course it means war, because when you manufacture all this pretty stuff, you have to use it. My grandpa said, he said, give toys to the boys and they're going to use them. If you get all this military stuff. As a matter of fact, Madeleine Albright made a comment like that one time, that we have all this pretty war material here. Why don't we have a war? Let's use it. And it's the suppression of the business cycle, I think, in a large sense, that causes is one of the causes for the wars that we have. The politicians, of course, love it, because the more war, the more indispensable they seem to the public, the longer they can hang on to office, just like Roosevelt. Roosevelt, the big reason he wanted to get us into the last war was because he wanted a third and a fourth term, which he got. A politician is in politics for only one reason, and that's because they love power. And they know that with power, they don't have to worry about money. Money always comes with power. Politicians by nature want power, and by nature, therefore, they're looking for ways to perpetuate that power, and it's called war. And that's one of the big reasons. Now, the golly, there's so much. I think that one of the things that we have to recognize. We have to take a long view of history. I'll talk about the founding fathers. They knew who the enemy was. It's England. England has always been, yes, we were English colonists founded this country. Yes, we speak the English language. But the fact is, our one enemy, ever since that time, has been England. England has after she lost the Revolutionary War, she realized that America would be a tremendous help to her in her own imperialistic ambitions, and so much of our policy is shaped for the benefit of England. She's gotten us in these two last wars. England herself, of course, is completely out of the picture now. It's dead as far as being a power today. It's no longer a power. But we have to recognize that our problem, politically and in foreign policy, has been the interference of England in our affairs to a great extent. This was exactly what the founding fathers said. George Washington says, "Don't," in his farewell address, which is still stands as the greatest single piece of literature that every American should be familiar with. He says, "The worst thing America can do is to be governed or be influenced by foreign influence." He says, "I conjure you to believe me, fellow citizens. In order to be free and to be safe, we have to chart our own course in the world." And that's exactly what we haven't done.
Well, in terms of Middle Eastern policy, it's been suggested to me that when you look at Palestine, Mesopotamia, and Persia, that basically what the United States is doing presently in the Middle East is a continuation of the older British foreign policy in the region. Is that a fair analysis?
In a sense, but on the other hand, I'd say our policy is pretty in that area of the world is determined by Israel. The influence of that country in American political affairs is dominant, is overwhelming. It just swamps anything else. Israel's foreign policy is hegemony, that is control over the entire Mideast. She's knocked out Saddam Hussein, Iran, destroyed Iraq, has destroyed Iraq. The next enemy, of course, is Iran. And this is why I fear, just as Father Martinez was saying on your program about an hour ago, I'm so afraid that we are going to begin to attack Iran at any time. To open up there won't be an invasion, of course, with men. It'll just be bombing. We'll just kill as many as possible, destroy as many cities as possible, destroy any military installations and nuclear locations that they have just from a bombing campaign. Of course, that will absolutely make America's isolation even more total. There will be all sorts of unforeseen circumstances come from that. Terrorism will be heightened to an extent that would be hard to believe, in my opinion. And I think it would be a terrible, terrible blunder. But I just can't help but think this is what's going to happen, particularly after Bush has appointed this Admiral Fallon as a commander-in-chief to oversee it, and particularly as we are even now deploying our Navy and our Air Force for such an attack.
Well, Pat Buchanan, among others, has noted that this Admiral Fallon, who comes to CENTCOM from SINCPAC, where he was the commander-in-chief of Pacific Forces in Hawaii, And, of course, in the sink pack position, historically you have a Navy admiral who's the head of that, as was the case with John McCain's father a generation or two ago. Mm-hmm. But Buchanan has noted that for Fallon to take over CENTCOM, CENTCOM has historically been headed up by an Army general, and Pat Buchanan sees significance in that because he indicates that to have a Navy admiral whose basic orientation and professional background is particularly strong in the area of naval aerial warfare mm-hmm. and the area of protecting sea lanes, Mr. Buchanan has suggested that Fallon's professional background would seem to suggest that the reason he's been made the head of CENTCOM is not to run the war with Iraq, but to, in fact, enact a plan to attack Iran. Do you think that that's a pretty good analysis there?
Yes, I think Pat is entirely right. I understand that Fallon has a very great longing in his heart to do everything he can for Israel, and so everything seems to fit together.
So Fallon himself then has the pro-Zionist orientation.
Yes, that's what I understand.
Well, I'd say that's interesting, again, given the fact that when we look at this whole issue of the neoconservatives and the disproportionate influence they have played with the Bush administration and, of course, with policymakers in both of the major parties, I find it curious that given the fact that the Jewish background of most of these people is absolutely provable, it's a matter of public record, that nonetheless it's suggested time and again that anyone who points this out is an anti-Semite. And when we come back, I want to discuss that whole business of anti-Semitism with you, trying to get to the bottom of what it is, who's defining what it is, and what the implications are of this notion of anti-Semitism, as that is defined by the ADL and the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act. We'll be back with Willis Carto. Stay tuned.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. the American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Willis Carto, the founder of the Barnes Review and the founder of the American Free Press. Wanted to warn Mr. Carto, as well as our listeners, that the next 10 minutes or so tends to be a time of rather frequent commercial interruption, and then we'll have a longer period of time for extended conversation in the last hour that Mr. Carto is with us this morning. Wanted to mention that tomorrow we are beginning a pledge drive at the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can support us with your gifts to the extent that you're able to do so by contacting us at www.republicbroadcasting.org. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org. You can also give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. And if you need to contact us by mail, you can do so at the Republic Broadcasting Network office, which is at 1015 South Mays, M-A-Y-S, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That's Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Mays, M-A-Y-S, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And again, you can call us at 1-800-724-2719 or contact us at www.publicbroadcasting.org. You can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by utilizing those same contact points, www.republicbroadcasting.org or 1-800-724-2719. And again, just to emphasize this, we begin our pledge drive tomorrow. I hope that you'll be tuning in tomorrow and in the days ahead and supporting the Republic Broadcasting Network to the extent that you can, both with RBN, of course, as well as with the American Free Press. These are the two premier media outlets in America that give you the populist right version of political events and that give you the information that you're not going to find in corporate media. To the extent that RBN's successful in this endeavor, it depends upon all of you out there to help us. And so, again, to the extent that you can, be aware of the fact that our fundraising drive begins tomorrow, and that's at republicbroadcasting.org or at 1-800-724-2719. We have a caller for Mr. Carto, Jeff in Vermont. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Willis. Hey, Mark. How are you guys doing today?
Good, sir.
Big fan of your newspaper. It's really, really up to date, and it's good. It seems kind of, I'm a kind of a man of solutions, and I like to have solutions to the to the problems we have in society today. And Zionism is definitely a problem that we have, not just in my state, but around the country as well. I mean, you can't even really study Zionism or the effect of Jewish culture unless you do your own research on it. It's not in academics. It's not in any part of society that you can study. It's not in.
Jeff, we got to take a commercial break, but hold your comment for Mr. Carto, and we'll get right back to you after the break. This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Public Broadcasting Network. Be back with Jeff's call from Vermont for Willis Carto. Stay tuned.